Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there a Stevie Wonder song you think you could sing all the way through? Confidently?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah. It's probably be one of them.
Probably several.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a Sunday morning. It's the 24th day of August, and we are back on Sundays. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. This hour is dedicated to folks in Tyrone, Georgia.
All right.
Little shout out to them. Speaking of songs, have this wrap around in your mind for a second before we bring on Chad Bishop. We want to thank Chad for joining us. Speaking of music, did you know that Bono, you too?
Okay.
Bono wrote a song that was never recorded for Frank Sinatra.
Whoa.
Bono and Edge wrote a song for Frank Sinatra, told him about it, and he passed shortly thereafter. But just the title in and of itself is enough that you say, oh, that's a Frank Sinatra song. It was called Two Shots of Happy, One Shot of Sad. Ain't that a Frank Sinatra song?
All right.
He's like, you know, torch singer the way he is.
Yeah, right.
Two shots of happy, one shot of sad. And Sinatra never recorded it because he passed away. But let's bring on Chad Bishop now.
Yep.
Listen, the anticipation of this season, the conversation surrounding this team has been at a level that I've not heard, mainly because, you know, in the city it's all about them boys over in Athens. But I'm enjoying what I'm hearing about Georgia Tech, Chad, and Sam has been educating me on what's going on. And then we look at this schedule coming up in front of them. Things are, you know, you like they got a chance for some significant wins going on this season. Tell us what we should know about this team heading into this 2025 season.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thanks for having me. And no shots of sad on my end on this Sunday morning. So I appreciate it, fellas. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? It's year three for Brent Key, 2-7-6 seasons. So it's not like they've exactly set the world on fire the last couple of years. But I think where some of the hype is coming from is that Haynes King is coming back at quarterback. Jamal Haynes is coming back at running back. Buster Faulkner and Chris Winkie are still there on the offensive staff. Of course, the continuity from Brent Key, a new defensive coordinator with a lot of defensive talent on that side of the ball. And to your point, you know, the schedule is not nearly as daunting as it has been in years past. There's Clemson on there and there's Georgia on there, but you could make a case the other 10 games are very winnable, if not toss-up games for the Yellow Jackets. So if they stay healthy, there's a really good chance this Tech team can make some big-time noise. You know, dare I say, you know, be in that conversation in November to get to an ACC title game. And I mean, shoot, if a dream scenario, right, is there sort of in that college football playoff picture come the end of November.
Yeah, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline on this Sunday morning with Chad Bishop. Great to talk with him. All things Georgia Tech athletics. And he is social. You can find him at Mr. Chad Bishop at Mr. Chad Bishop. Talk about this Tech team, and we remember how the last game went, the very last game of the season, the debacle in Birmingham with the bad officiating and the storm and everything. I'd rather focus us on the last regular season game and how much of that can this team recapture, being that close and taking Georgia to the very finish line, taking them to the wall last year. That's what this team has to build on and a nucleus that has that experience, right?
Yeah, I think it's sort of the bridge from last season to this season because a lot of those guys who suffered that excruciating defeat in Athens, we mentioned Haynes King, Jamal Haynes, Malik Rutherford at wide receiver, Kyle Eifert at linebacker, Clayton Powell Lee at safety, Jordan Vanderberg at defensive tackle. Like a lot of the main core pieces, you know, walked off that field after those eight overtimes, and a lot of those guys were driven by that score and by that result. And so you come into spring practice, summer training, and I think a lot of those senior leaders, told some of the newcomers, told some of the freshmen, like, this is what drives us. This is how close we were. We know we're a good team. We need your help to get us over that hump. So I think that's definitely a backdrop. That's definitely part of this narrative. We all know how much Brent Key wants to beat Georgia. I mean, we all know he lies in bed at night awake thinking of that game and thinking of ways to improve his program to get over that hump. So it's certainly a driving force. Of course, you know, a lot of the freshmen, a lot of the transfers and newcomers probably aren't driven by that as much. But again, it's some of those older guys in that locker room that take those guys by the collar and say, listen, this is the direction we're going. This is the standard. This is how things are done to get us over that hump to beat Georgia at the end of the year.
This is Chad Bishop, who I'm kind of mad at right now because I can't get that vision out of my head. Brent Key laying in bed thinking of Kirby Smart. But anyway, join the Sam and Greg Sports Radio 92.9 game. I want to go back to a name you mentioned earlier, because unless you follow the sport and this particular team, when I heard the name Chris Winkie, I had other things that ran through my mind other than him being a force as far as coaching, and especially at Georgia Tech here. What has he meant to this program? And is he the kind of guy where, at least at this level, he's been there a few years, you think somebody might come and snatch him up?
Yeah, well, I think the conversation for me starts with Haynes King, because Chris Winkie was an assistant coach at Tennessee when Haynes King was in high school, and Haynes King chose Texas A&M over Tennessee. Well, flash forward 3 years after that, Haynes King decides to get in the transfer portal, and he's looking around, and lo and behold, Chris Winkie is the quarterback's coach at Georgia Tech. So there's a connection there, and I think that speaks volumes to the type of coach that Chris Winkie is, to have that relationship with a superstar quarterback like Haynes King. And then the fact that he's stayed along Brent Key's side this past 3.5, almost 4 years now, to create this culture of quarterback play. We talked about Haynes King, but Aaron Filo, the backup, I mean, that's a huge get for Georgia Tech, and Chris Winkie's a big part of bringing him in and develop him as well. So we talked about, you know, the seniors on this team and the players, but I think the coaching staff is just important this day and age to have that continuity, whether it be Buster Faulkner at offensive coordinator, Jeep Waite on the offensive line, or Chris Winkie in the quarterback room. Haynes King joked last year, like, his internship was learning how to play quarterback under Chris Winkie. Like, the guys love him. He's been instrumental in teaching the guys how to play at a high, not only collegiate level, but put themselves in position to possibly play at the professional level. So, yeah, he's an integral part of this Georgia Tech football team and the Georgia Tech offense.
Spending time talking with Chad Bishop from the AJC keeps things all together about Georgia Tech as they get set to open their season later this week on the road at Colorado. Talk about the fact that this Tech team is going to play one of the games this weekend that will get big-time eyeballs from the country. The nation is going to get a good dose of this Georgia Tech team, and they have a chance to make a really solid impression out of Colorado.
Well, it's kind of what this Tech team has done, right, the past couple of years. You go back to 23 and playing Louisville, Mercedes-Benz Stadium to open the year. Of course, last year in Dublin, and I'm sure a lot of us were watching the game yesterday in Dublin between Kansas State and Iowa State, brought back a lot of memories for me, you know, Georgia Tech being over there last season. And now they have another opportunity again. ESPN Friday night, I think that game is up against Auburn Baylor, so a lot of folks will have that dual screen, will be flipping back and forth watching those two. We all know Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, is a huge draw in and of itself, and this is sort of what Georgia Tech likes, right? Like, going on the road, sort of being an underdog, even though they're the favorite on paper, they're still going into a sold-out, hostile environment against a team with a lot of hype, and they're going in there and be like, don't forget about us, right? We're Georgia Tech. We know who we are. We know what our identity is, and we have a pretty good football team. So it's all part of sort of their recent mantra for this program to go play some big-time opponents. They got Tennessee coming up in a couple years as part of their non-conference schedule. And then you throw in the wild card of the ACC's new revenue system, where if you get higher ratings when you play on TV, you're going to get a little bit more of that revenue pie at the end of the season. So that's big for Georgia Tech as well, because they know a lot of eyeballs will be watching them on Friday night.
Chad, you mentioned the word identity, and I think this team has it. I don't know that the Colorado team that's put together now with the departure of Shadur and his brother and Travis Hunter, I don't think that team has an identity right now. They're reestablishing that at a time when Tech really does, they know who they are.
That's why I give Tech an advantage, not only in this game, but probably in a lot of games on their schedule. And we go back to the original part of our conversation about sort of the hype and expectations for Tech. Continuity is huge, and maybe even more so in 2025, right, when guys are transferring to 3-4 different schools. I mean, Haynes King, third year as a starter. Jamal Haynes, been at Tech his whole career. Same thing with Kyle Eifert at linebacker. And under Brent Key, it's this identity of, you know, run the football first, right? Not 3 yards in a cloud of dust necessarily, but they're a run-first team. They're very, very tough. They're very, very physical. I think the discipline gets overlooked a lot, right? Like, not a lot of turnovers, not a lot of penalties. It's not maybe, you know, 50 points a game and chuck the ball over the field and dance in the end zone sort of an identity, right? But it's kind of a blue-collar, we're going to go out and pound the rock and then hit some explosive plays, and it's going to be fun to watch. And that's the identity they've created. And to your point, I mean, Colorado, for all we know, could be a great team, but we just don't know that right now, and we do know what Georgia Tech is going into week one.
Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg. All right, listen, if you believe, like most, that this is Clemson's conference to lose, and they're going to be at, you know, top of the food chain, how many other teams in your mind is Georgia Tech looking up at beside them?
Yeah, great question. Probably two or three. I mean, you got to put Miami in that category with the talent they have and what Mario Cristobal has done in the past couple of years. Of course, as you guys know, the problem with Miami, right, is like, can we trust them, right? They lose to Georgia Tech last year. They lose to Syracuse. They play their way out of the ACC title game. So you don't ever question Miami's talent. You just, you know, question whether they can get it done week in and week out and not slip up by season's end. I think Louisville is a team to watch, mainly because they have 8 home games. Like, that's crazy to me that they get to play 8 times at home. So you'd have to assume that those will probably be winnable games for Louisville, right? And then I kind of throw like an NC State in there, a Duke, some teams, maybe teams aren't really, people aren't really talking about. I mean, they're going to have some good talent. And, you know, Duke won 9 games last year. Georgia Tech has to go on the road to play them. So, yeah, I think there's a couple. You know, I think there's a reason Georgia Tech was picked to finish 4th in the ACC preseason poll, because that's sort of where they lie right now going into this thing. Clemson, by far and away, is definitely the team to beat. Some people think they're going to win the national championship, but I think that's good news for Georgia Tech, because all you really have to do at this point is just try to fight for second and get into that ACC title game, if that's the case on paper.
You know, this is crazy, Sam. And I want you to stay with me here, Chad. He went through a breakdown and he named a handful of teams. You and I know who's sitting out there. As we sit here on August 24th in 2025, he broke down these teams and did not mention the team being coached by what a lot of people feel is the greatest football coach of all time. Now, mind you, we all understand that North Carolina wasn't going to turn the corner and be significant this season. But, you didn't even, like, mention him. you didn't even bring Bill Belichick up at all. And I'm just curious of your thoughts on where you see this program, how long it's going to take. Do you think he's going to be there next year or two? What's your thoughts on North Carolina right now?
I didn't mention North Carolina. I didn't mention Florida State either, right? Like, you know, they were undefeated a couple years ago and then went 2-10. What if they go back to being 12-0 again? But, yeah, talking to a lot of people, whether it's media, whether it's people who work at North Carolina, you know, sports information folks, there seems to be a consensus that this North Carolina thing is going to go one or two ways, right? Like, Bill Belichick is going to be a godsend. They're going to be a very, very good football team and very competitive. Maybe starting year one where they win 7, 8, 9 games. I don't think their schedule is terribly hard. And then I think the other prevailing thought is, like, this is going to be a disaster. Like, these kids are not going to buy into him. He's maybe a little bit too old to be in this college game. And maybe halfway through the season or a third way through the season, folks just throw in the towel and this team ends up like 4-8 or 3-9. So I have no idea. I wish Georgia Tech was playing them this year so we could see it up close and personal. But I think it's one of these things that's just complete roll of the dice when it comes to this UNC football program. I don't think anybody would be shocked, right, if they won 9 games. And I don't think anybody would be shocked if they went 2-10.
Wow. Watch and see what happens.
I ain't going to say nothing about it.
You're not going to say nothing about it.
No, we're not going to
do anything about it.
Go ahead, Sam.
Well, we thought about that, but that's the thing you wonder about this whole conference and what we're going to see this season. But the thing we're hoping to see is great things from Georgia Tech starting this Friday night. Wheels up. You going out to Colorado? You headed out there?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I'll fly out Thursday and get there about noon Mountain Time and have a really day and a half to check out the sites and see if I can go have dinner at Coach Prime's house, you know. And no, I'm just going to be hanging out and seeing the Flatirons and seeing Folsom Field, man. It's going
to
be awesome.
I'd imagine getting to Deion's place is like getting into the Batcave. I mean, the old TV show, there's like, you got to know where the bush is and it will go down.
Move,
and you can
right
drive through that. Hey, listen, as always, Chad, we want to thank you, and we will be talking to you throughout this upcoming season.
Thanks a lot and safe travels.
All right, guys. All right, guys. See you.
Chad Bishop joining us here.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.